الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فإن شاء الله we'll continue with the stories of the prophets, and we have reached the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. And this is one of the longest stories, just like you have the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, was a long, very long story, because of lots of benefits. Likewise, the story of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, you find there's lots of benefits that are mentioned, and we'll go through Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah's explanation. He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قَدْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ لِمُوسَى Ibn Imran, وَمَعَهُ أَخُوهُ هَارُونَ عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ سِيرَةً طَوِيلَةً. Allah mentioned the story of Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام with Harun عليه الصلاة والسلام as biography or seerah that is long. وَسَاقَ قَصَصَهُ فِي مَوَاضِعْ مِنْ كِتَابِهِ بِأَسَالِيبٍ مُتَنَوِّعَةٍ. And he also mentioned their stories in different places of the Qur'an, in his book, يعني in the Qur'an, and with different styles, mentioning the variety of different things that occurred and happened, and the benefits that are derived with each particular situation. وَلَيْسَ فِي قَصَصِ الْقُرْآنِ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ قِصَّةِ مُوسَى. He says there isn't any story that is greater than the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, yani in its detail, in its entirety, in its يعني vastness, because Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام is mentioned a lot in the Quran. لأنه عالج فرعون وجنوده, because Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام, he was dealing with who? He was dealing with فرعون and his army. And obviously, when you look at the story of فرعون, who said أنا ربكم الأعلى, I am your Lord the Most High, he claimed to have lordship. Not just he claimed worship for himself, but he claimed to be Rabbukum al-A'la, yani your Lord, the Most High. And that shows arrogance as well. Not just your Lord, but the Most High. To show his arrogance. And he was dealing with Musa, Musa alayhi salam was dealing with Fir'aun, showing you the seriousness of that situation. وَعَالَجَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And also, Musa alayhi salam was dealing with Bani Israel. And Bani Israel were not easy. When he was telling them to come and aid me against Musa and his army, he said, you and your Lord go and fight. They were very arrogant as well, and they were hard people and difficult people to deal with. The Bani Israel, أشد المعالجة. So he was trying, and it was a difficult overcoming, if you like, or da'wah for him. وهو أعظم أنبياء بني إسرائيل. And Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام is the greatest of the prophets from Bani Israel. He says, وَشَرِيعَتُهُ وَكِتَابُهُ التَّوْرَاةِ. And his sharia and his book is the Torah. هُوَ مَرْجِعُ أَنْبِيَاءِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. And also it is a marji', a reference point for the prophets of Bani Israel who came afterwards, and the scholars who came afterwards from Bani Israel. وَعُلَمَائِهِمْ وَأَتْبَاعُهُ أكثر أتباع الأنبياء. And his followers are the majority of the followers of any prophet besides the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam's ummah is far greater and more in number. غير أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وله من القوة العظيمة في إقامة دين الله. And Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام, he says, has immense strength and power in establishing the deen of Allah. Yani he was firm, he was strong. I mean, to deal with Fir'aun, you have to be strong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the strength, the ability to overcome Fir'aun and his people. Subhanallah. وَالدَّعْوَةِ إِلَيْهِ. And da'wah to him and the people and Bani Israel. وَالْغَيْرَةِ الْعَظِيمَةِ. He has so much jealousy for this deen, so much concern for this deen. مَا لَيْسَ لِغَيْرِهِ. They won't find anyone else. Even in fact, Rasulullah s.a.w. said, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى قَدْ أُوذِيَ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ هَذَا.
He was harmed much more than this. Prophet was harmed. He was insulted. They threw stones at him. They harmed him. They belied him. They denied him. They called him names. They called him magician. They called him possessed. And Rasulullah is saying, Rahim Allah Musa. Allah have mercy on Musa. He was harmed more than this. Subhanallah. Look at Rasulullah. And we know that Rasulullah is the one who's harmed the most out of all of the creation. Out of all of the people. But out of his humility, he's saying this because he knows that Musa was harmed a lot. Musa is harmed a lot, yes, he was harmed a lot. But Rasulullah, out of humility, he's saying, Rahim Allah Musa. Rahim Allah Musa. He was harmed more than this. Meaning, referring to himself. But in reality, out of humility, he said that. Rather, Rasulullah, there isn't anyone harmed more than Rasulullah in the life, in the short lifespan that he was harmed. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وَلَهُ مِنَ الْقُوَّةِ الْعَظِيمَةِ فِي إِقَامَةِ دِينَ So Musa alayhi sallam had this ability. Allah gave him, Allah blessed him, Allah guided him to have this strength in establishing Tawheed, in calling to Tawheed, in calling the people to the worship of Allah, and calling the people to justice. وَقَدْ وُلِدَ فِي وَقْتٍ قَدْ اشْتَدَّ فِيهِ فِرْعَوْنُ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ And he was born in a time when Fir'aun was at his utmost transgression against Bani Israel, because he would, to the extent that he would kill anyone, that's any boy that is born, any male that is born, he commanded that any male, any, he was afraid of his own kingdom, that they all to be killed, any baby boy that is born to be killed, and only the women, the girls are left, yani, to survive, because he wanted them to serve him. And also he wanted to harm them. فَلَمَّا وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ So when the mother of Musa, عليه الصلاة والسلام, gave birth to him, خَافَتْ عَلَيْهِ Just like any mother, she was afraid for him. خَوْفًا شَدِيدًا Serious. She was afraid for him much. Because she was afraid, why? Because Fir'aun and his people, Fir'aun commanded his army to go and kill any newborn. Boy. So she was afraid for him. فَإِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ جَعَلَ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ مَنْ يَرْقُبُ نِسَاءَهُمْ He actually, Fir'aun, placed amongst Bani Israel, like spies, those who would go around and check if any baby boy is born. So they would call, check and look around. وَكَانَ بَيْتُهَا عَلَى ضَيْفَةِ نَهْرِ نِيلِ And her house, the mother of Musa, her house, نعم, was on the Nile River, River Nile. فَأَلْهَمَهَا اللَّهُ أَنْ وَضَعَتْ لَهُ تَابُوتًا So when she gave birth to Musa, عليه الصلاة والسلام, he's a baby boy, she made for him a basket, or something that he can be protected if she let him go in the Nile, in the river Nile, fearing that the men will come, that the army of Fir'aun will come and kill him. إِذَا خَافَتْ أَحَدًا Alqathu fil yam. So whenever she didn't let him go into the Nile all the way, what happened was she put a rope or a string onto the basket so that it doesn't go. She just puts him in the Nile, the river Nile, and he's there protected. Nobody knows that he's there. But Qadr Allah, the string became untied. Slowly, slowly became untied because of the strength of the water. And he started going down the Nile. So imagine, any mother would be scared. Her own son. SubhanAllah, she only put him there in a basket so that the men, when they come, the army, they come, men won't kill him. But the rope was untied. Slowly, slowly became untied. And the basket, or the that which contained Musa alayhi salam, went with the river. She put a rope and the rope got untied. وَمِنْ لُطْفِ اللَّهِ بِهَا And from Allah's kindness towards her. أَنْ لَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي That she should not be fear, she should not be afraid, nor should she feel distress. إِنَّا رَادُوهُ إِلَيْكَ We will return him to you. Allahu Akbar. وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ And we will make him from the messengers.
فَلَمَّا أَلْقَتْهُ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ انْفَلَتْ رِبَاطُ التَّابُوتِ.
So when she placed him in the river Nile, as she would do every time, whenever passers-by will come, she placed him on the river. But at that time, because of the strength of the water, the rope became untied, and now Musa in the basket or in the container started flowing down the Nile.
فَذَهَبَ الْمَاءَ بِالتَّابُوتِ الَّذِي فِي وَسَطِهِ مُوسَى.
And so the river flowed, and on it is this basket where Musa is, basket or container that Musa is.
وَمِنْ قَدْرِ اللَّهِ, and from the will of Allah, أَنْ وَقَعَ فِي يَدِ آلِ فِرْعَوْنِ وَجِيءَ بِهِ إِلَى امْرَأَةِ فِرْعَوْنِ.
And by the will of Allah, the family of Fir'aun, they saw this basket, and in it is a baby. And they brought it to the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya. Her name was Asiya, and she was righteous. She was a righteous woman.
فَلَمَّا رَأَتْهُ أَحَبَّتْهُ.
When she saw the baby in a basket, subhanAllah, having been saved from the flowing river, she loved this baby.
حُبًّا شَدِيدًا.
A great love, a deep love.
وَكَانَ اللَّهُ قَدْ أَلْقَى عَلَيْهِ الْمَحَبَّةِ فِي الْقُلُوبِ.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the hearts of the people love for him, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam.
وَشَاعَ الْخَبَرِ.
And then it became widespread because people talk, subhanAllah. People like to spread news. People talk. Became widespread. Huh? What had happened?
And the news reached Fir'aun, this evil man, this evil leader, and this evil, despicable individual who was arrogant.
فَطَلَبَهُ لِيَقْتُلَهُ. He called for him to kill him. He wanted to kill a baby. SubhanAllah.
فَقَالَتْ امْرَأَتُهُ.
So the wife of Fir'aun said to him, لَا تَقْتُلُوهُ. Don't kill him.
قُرَّةَ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ.
The coolness of my eyes and your eyes. Why do you want to kill a baby for? Look how beautiful he is. Coolness of my eyes. I love to look at him. And don't you love to look at him? Look how small this baby is and beautiful he is.
عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعَنَا.
Hoping that maybe in the future he will benefit us.
أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا.
Or we take him as a son.
فَنَجَى بِهَذَا السَّبَبِ.
So because of this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu wasalam from being killed by Fir'aun.
وَكَانَ هَذَا الْأَثَرُ الطَّيِّبُ.
And this great effect, na'am, from the striving of Musa's, Fir'aun's wife Asiya, her striving, not only her but her family, striving to bring the baby. And not only that, also, you will see, also some other striving from the believing women, the mother of Musa and the sister of Musa, who will come to see what she did.
أما أم موسى فإنها فزعت وأصبح فؤادها فارغا وكاد الصبر أن يغلب فيها.
As for the mother of Musa, then she became so afraid. Imagine, the baby's gone down the river now, flowing with the waves, the stream of the river, as fast as it is. And she nearly lost hope. Allah said, إِنْ كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ لَوْلَا أَنْ رَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. She nearly lost hope if we did not strengthen our heart. Allah strengthened the heart of Musa to be strong, to be firm.
لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
That she be from the believers.
وَقَالَتْ لِأُخْتِهِ قُصِّيهِ
بِمَعْنَى تَحَسَّسِي عَنْهُ. And she said to the sister of Musa, Musa's sister, she said to her, look what happened to him. Go and look what happened to him.
وَكَانَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ قَدْ عَرَضَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعِ.
Now Musa alayhi salatu salam, as a baby, needed to be fed, breastfed, needed milk. That's the best food for that child in the first 2 years, breast milk. Many sisters, unfortunately, they turn away from this. And I advise the sisters and our daughters,
They do not run away from this. Don't go to the supermarket and get them dried milk. Give them breast milk. This is the best milk for them. This is the best milk. You're weaning, you're striving to bring your child to your chest and bring that child to feed from that which Allah has provided for them is the best upbringing you can give in the first 2 years. To strengthen their bones, to strengthen them, to nourish them, and following the sunnah, that which the Anbiya came with. Maradi'. So they looked for someone to breastfeed the child. Now, because the baby does not take any milk, wanted only a certain type of milk. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah willed that he did not take from any milk. So when the sister of Musa is looking for Musa, she found out that the news came to her that also, that he is safe, but still, he needed somebody to breastfeed him. So out of her wisdom, and Musa as a baby, he was crying, many women would come to breastfeed him, he wouldn't accept. He was turning right and left, turning with so much pain, so much hunger. No woman he accepted the milk. No woman did he accept. And so the sister of Musa, Musa's sister, rahimahullah, she, when she found out his whereabouts and that they were walking out into the streets to find out somebody who would feed this baby, she came upon the child and she brought the child to her mother. She found and she said to them, I know the one who will feed this child. And she, out of her wisdom, she said, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتٍ? Shall I tell you a family whereby this child will accept its milk? Yani the mother's milk. يَكْفُلُونَهُ لَكُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاصِحُونَ They will be responsible over this child, and there would be also nasihun, advisors to this child, bringing the child up, cultivating it, educating it, and at the same time, first and foremost, giving it milk that it will accept. And that was a reason for Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to go back to his mother. Allahu Akbar. Look at the fadl of Allah, ya akhwan. Look at Allah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, step by step, you rely upon him, you be firm in your deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you the khair. Allah will keep harm. Look, being in the household of Fir'aun, ready to be killed, as a baby, how can you even repel Fir'aun? Even as a man, let alone a baby. But look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected this child. Musa alayhi salam, as a baby, Allah protected him. And look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made firm his mother. Due to her patience, Allah brought her son. That nobody's milk Musa as a baby will accept. He only wanted to accept the milk of his mother. And look at the striving of Musa's sister. She strove. She didn't sit and wait. She went out looking for the baby. Looking to hear what is happening. And then with her wisdom she said, let me tell you how or who will be able to quench the thirst of this child. كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنَ Allah returned the baby to his mother and he only drank from his mother's milk. And that brought Musa's mother, brought her the coolness of her eyes back. Yani her happiness back. And she was not distressed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this surah and in many parts of the Quran, the clear story of Musa alayhi salam and how the affairs through his life went through different difficulties and hardship. And wallahi, if someone were to read the story of Musa alayhi salam and the different situations that he went through, then as Shaykh Sa'd rahimahullah said, قِرَاءَتُهَا كَافِيَةً عَنْ شَرْحِ مَعْنَاهَا The reading of the story of Musa alayhi salam is enough for us. Is enough for us than actually explaining its meaning in detail. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already explained in detail the story of Musa. with so many benefits. But we are going to mention some of them. And he said some of them, but you'll find the next 8 pages or 10 pages, all of it is about Musa alayhi salatu salam. In fact, 38 benefits. So we'll try and mention half today, and then half inshaAllah. What time is Asr on Saturday? And Maghrib? Saturday, what time is Maghrib on Saturday? Okay, we'll discuss it afterwards inshaAllah, see if we can do another dars to finish off. From the benefits, of the 38 benefits that Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah mentions, and he's going through different stories. So let's just start from number one. Lutfullah bi Ummi Musa, the kindness of Allah over Musa's mother. First of all, in revealing to her the glad tidings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless her with a child and will make him from the mursaleen. We will protect him and we will make him from the messengers. And that is for her to be patient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, his lutf, in returning that child to her so that she feeds that child milk. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom in not allowing any woman, not allowing Musa to accept any woman in breastfeeding him. That subhanAllah, out of Allah's wisdom, that the only person that will breastfeed him will be his mother, such that Musa can be returned to his mother. Allah, that's from fadl from Allah. That's why we have to be, we have to have yaqeen, ya ikhwan. Certainty. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي Returning to everything to Allah. They do not truly believe until they make you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a judge in all of their affairs. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مَا قَضَيْتُ سَلِيمًا وَسَلِيمًا Submitting to Allah, having yaqeen to Allah. Certainty. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah mentioned that ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, that they believe and they have no hesitance in their belief. They're strong in their belief. They're firm in their belief that Allah will bring out the haqq. Allah will bring out the khair. That Allah will bring him all that is good. But be patient and have hilm and forbearance. But we have to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his name, is the Latif. So number one is the lutf of Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Sheikh Zayd bin Hadi al-Madkhali says, will take care of you and aid you and deal with your oppressors, deal with those who harm you. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows all of your affairs. So do not dishearten, do not fall short, do not despair. قُلْ يَا عِبَادَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Don't despair from the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا Allah forgives all sins. Don't despair. Allah is there for you, ya Abdullah. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيُكْشِفُ السُّوءَ Who is there that can answer the needy when he calls and remove harm? Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't despair from the mercy of Allah. Don't despair from the mighty of Allah, the power of Allah. بَلِ الْقُوَّةُ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا Rather, all of the power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have children. Maybe someone didn't, someone's misguided. Supplicate to Allah. Don't despair. Call them to Tawheed and Sunnah with beautiful preaching. Don't despair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them to you with kindness. Allah will bring them to you and return them to you. Don't despair. And if Allah wills, they will remain upon misguidance. But don't despair. Indeed, Allah will save your patience as a reward in Yawm al-Qiyamah. Number two. Number two. أن آيات الله وعبرة في الأمم السابقة إنما يستفيد منها ويستنير بها المؤمنون. Those signs of Allah and those morals that we learned from in the previous nations that came before us, indeed those who benefit from them are who? are the believers. Those whose light are enlightened with these stories. Because they are true stories. Allah did not call them qisas. Allah called them qasas. And there is a difference between the two. Qisas are stories. What you would read, any story in the... But when Allah described the stories in the Quran, He did not call them qisas. Stories. Or fables. Or tales of the ancients. He called them qasas. True stories. True parables. True morals that one can learn. يَسْتَنِيرُ بِهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ And the ones who benefit from them are the believers. Because they're the ones whose hearts are alive and they benefit from the true stories. نَتْلُوا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ نَبِئِ مُوسَى We convey to you, we read to you the story of Musa وَفِرْعَوْنَ بِالْحَقِّ And Fir'aun with truth. لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ Allah says to the people who believe. So our people who disbelieve, they won't benefit. If they disbelieve and reject. The hypocrites, they won't benefit if they reject and leave that which will benefit them. But the believers whose hearts are softened with remembrance of Allah, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ So isn't it time for the believers' hearts to humble for the dhikr of Allah, due to the dhikr of Allah? Isn't it time that our hearts are softened when we hear these stories? Number three, And Allah إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا هَيَّأَ أَسْبَابَهُ When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills something to occur, He brings about its reasons. Step by step. Step by step. Disbelievers, yes, Allah says, سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْتُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَأَمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِ مَتِينَ Yes, we will lead them astray step by step without them realizing. And give them in full. Our plan is mighty. Allahu Akbar. Who can escape the plan of Allah? Nobody can escape the plan of Allah. We are all in this dunya. We are all in a prison. This is a prison for the believer. There's two ways. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ A party in paradise, going to paradise, and a party going towards the hellfire. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ And we guided them to the two paths. Which are the two paths? Path to Jannah. And the other one, a path to the hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about reasons. Slowly, slowly. Nobody's able to repel the plan of Allah. Nobody's able to go against the plan of Allah. When the plan of Allah occurs and it comes in full force. And it comes... And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us a good end. Ay wallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we die upon tawheed and sunnah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protects us, just like when we pray Salatul Witr. And we say in the Witr prayer, Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt. Asking for guidance in your Witr prayer. وَعَافِنَا فِي مَنْ عَافَيْتِ Asking Allah for protection and security in those whom you give security. وَتَوَلَّنَا فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتِ And those whom you guide and you lead, lead us also to that which is good. وَقِنَا شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتِ And protect us from an evil that you have ordained or pre-decreed. And this is the part. And protect us from an evil that you have pre-decreed. You say this dua in your witr prayer. Allah will protect you from that which is decreed. Allah knows that you're going to say that. He already decreed it, that you will say it to protect you from that which is going to be decreed initially. SubhanAllah. So therefore, don't fall short. The decree of Allah, yes, we move from one qadr, as one of the Salaf said, we move from one qadr to another qadr. And all of it is under the qadr of Allah. SubhanAllah. You may not understand it, but all of it is under the will of Allah. We move from one qadr to another qadr. Allah already knows that you're going to pray that witr and say that dua and ask Him for that protection from that harm and that calamity. Allah knows that if another individual doesn't pray witr, every night for him is like Muzdalifah. And then he doesn't say that dua. So, and then he says, why me, why me? Ya akhi, pray witr, ya akhi. Pray witr and say that dua. Allah will protect you, ya akhi. When you see a person in difficulty and in calamity, walking, maybe they have no legs. Maybe they are blind. Maybe they have calamity in the dunya, in other situations, in other situation. Say, alhamdulillah, ladhi afana mimma abtalahu bihi wa faddalana ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdila. Say this dua, ya akhi. The Prophet said, whoever says this dua, all praise is due to Allah who have saved me from a calamity or difficulty that others are put into trial with. If you say this dua, the Prophet ﷺ said, you will be protected from that calamity or difficulty that other person is in. Isn't that a powerful dua? Powerful. Powerful dua. Alhamdulillah ladhi afana mimma abtalahu. Alhamdulillah ladhi afana mimma abtalahu bihi. Or abtalahum, if you want to do plural. Alhamdulillah ladhi afana mimma abtalahu bihi. Wa faddalana ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdila. Learn that dua. Ya Abdullah, these are duas are powerful. Protect you from trials that others are in. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, As-sa'idu man wu'ida bighayrihi. The content one is he who's free from other people's heart, who learns from other people's mistakes. As-sa'idu man wu'ida, from maw'ida, wu'ida bighayrihi. A happy one is he who learns from other people's mistakes. You see people going through mistakes, you do the same? You have to learn from this. These are powerful du'as. We believe in the qadr of Allah. And this is great to believe in the qadr of Allah. Na'am. And we also believe in those things that Allah has mentioned and Rasulullah ﷺ has mentioned to help us also in this matter. Yes, the believer is amazing. Inna amrahu kullahu khair. All of the believers' affair is amazing. In us, in asaba, in asabahu khairan, shakar fakana khairallah. If any good comes to him, he is grateful and that's good for him. When asabahu darra, sabar fakana khairallah. And if any harm befalls him, he's patient and that's good for him. And that is only for the believer. He's happy in good time and in bad time. Shaykh al-Albani rahmullah said, he's just like a saw. You know a saw? When you're sawing a piece of wood, a saw, he said, go in and come in, he's happy. Go in and come in is beneficial for him. Go in and come in. Just like a believer's like that. Just like a saw. He's benefiting both sides. Go in and come in. Difficult times, times of ease. For him, is learning for him. And he benefits for it, from it. From maybe another calamity that's even bigger than that, that Allah prepares him for. It could be. Number four, أن الأمة المستضعفة ولو بلغت في الضعف ما بلغت لا ينبغي أن يستولي عليها الكسل عن السعي في حقوقها ولا اليأس. That the Ummah, even though the situation has reached what it has reached, the harm has reached what it has reached, the difficulties have come upon you what they have come upon you, and you feel the whole world is caving upon you. Then do not let laziness take over you from striving to bring about your rights, from striving to bring about the truth, from striving. Don't despair. After hardship, there are two eases. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri yusr. After hardship, there is ease. After hardship, there is ease. Two ease for one hardship. So don't despair. Number five. أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ مَا دَامَتْ دَلِيلَ مَقْهُورًا لَا تُطَالِبُ بِحَقِّهَا لَا يَقُمُ لَهَا أَمْرُ دِينِهَا كَمَا لَا يَقُمُ لَهَا أَمْرُ دُنْيَاهَا. That if the ummah, whatever it has reached in humiliation and its situation, then if you do not stand up correctly, following the methodology of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to establish the deen of Allah and also to establish your dunya, to be alive and to be secure, then you will continue to be humiliated. Wallahi. the ummah will remain humiliated if we do not strive. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ وَتَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِأَدْنَبِ الْبَقَرِ وَرَضَيْتُمْ بِالزَّرْعِ وَتَرَكْتُمْ الْجِهَادِ بِسَبِيلِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ ذُلًّا لَنْ يَنْزِعَهُ عَنْكُمْ حَتَّى تَرْجِعُ إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ فِي سُنَنِ أَبِي دَاوُود. The hadith, if you deal, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ, you deal with usurious transactions, usury, riba, and you are content with agriculture, with the dunya, and you hold on to the cow's tails, the dunya, and you leave off jihad fi sabilillah, not the jihad of killing innocent people and suicide bombings. That is not jihad. The jihad of striving, the jihad of your soul, your nafs, striving to uphold the deen of Allah, and your jihad of defending the deen of Allah with your hands and your tongue, defending the deen of Allah, if it means that, with the conditions met, not chaos, and that matter is a big topic that needs full discussion. Not chaos, jihad is not chaos, subhanallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will permit your humiliation, and He will not remove it from you until you return to your deen. So those who go out in chaotic situations like Syria, that is not jihad. You're going to kill yourself just like a bull that enters the arena to be slaughtered. Why do you want to put yourself in destruction? Allah says, وَلَا تَلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. Don't cause harm with your own hands. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't kill yourselves. Jihad is not prescribed if you don't have any ability to repel. It's not prescribed for that. You don't have ability to repel the harm, there's no jihad. How do we know? Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he will come at the end of time. He will kill the Dajjal. Just as the Dajjal sees him, he will melt. The Dajjal will melt. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, na'am, he will rule with the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He will not bring a new Sharia. And when Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come, who will cause so much harm in society, na'am, they will come to him and say to Isa, what should we do? Basically, should we fight? A Nabi from the Anbiya of Allah, a prophet from amongst the prophets. And he will say, no. You see, the takfiris will, they will say, oh look, they will deny his prophethood. The takfiris, for them is jihad, until the last drop of blood, without any conditions met, without any following of conditions and prerequisites, system. For them, jihad, chaos. Let's just go out. Go out where, akhi? Go out and kill yourself just like a sheep ready for slaughter. That's not jihad. Jihad is to remove harm from the aggressors. You can't do that, then it's not jihad for you, ya akhi. Be patient. Just like the Messenger ﷺ was patient in Makkah. He could have established jihad if he wanted, but he didn't. Allah did not permit him to establish jihad in Makkah. He said, كُفُّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Withhold your hands and establish the prayer. Withhold your hand from fighting back and establish the prayer. It's in the Quran, ya akhi. Oh, takfiris, don't you read Quran? كُفُّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. This is not the time. Don't have the ability to repel. Isa alayhi salam will not have the ability to repel. يَأْجُوجُ مَأْجُوجُ. Based upon the wisdom of Allah. So Isa alayhi salam will say, let's go to Mount Tur for protection. That's a Nabi of Allah. Isa alayhi salam will kill the Dajjal. He will not fight jihad against Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Ya'juj and Ma'juj. This is one of the proofs that ulama bring. So you don't have the ability to repel, don't go out and fight. You don't have the ability to repel evil ruler like Asad, don't fight. And the proof is you didn't have the ability, because now it's still chaos, bloodshed,
Millions killed. Blood spilled. Millions have been driven out of their homes. Women widowed. Children orphaned. Displaced. Drowning in oceans and seas because of you, your takfiri fatwa. Whether it's Qardawi or other than them who go and call the people to go and while they're sitting in their homes drinking tea. Calling people to go out and fight. Like Adnan al-Urf with his sword. He comes up on stage on sword and says, Jihad in Syria, where are you then? What are you doing? People being killed and you like with your sword in a studio. Where are you going to kill the microphone? Where are you going to kill? Allah yahdik. So this is the da'wah of these individuals. You know who's sitting next to him? Is Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid. Sitting next to Anan al-Urur. While he's saying Jihad, Jihad, and he's staying quiet. And they call themselves students of Sheikh Albani, rahimullah. Subhanallah. Allah protect us from this ignorance. Allah protect us from not speaking the truth. And they know these narrations. Because they used to tell us these narrations back in the 90s. But they did not uphold them themselves. Jihad is not fasad. Jihad is not chaos. Jihad is to remove the aggression of the oppressors. If you have the ability, you don't have the ability, stay in your homes. And be patient. And make dua to Allah to remove the harm. But you don't go out and cause more chaos. More harm than good. Number 6. ومنها أن الخوف الطبيعي من الخلق لا ينافي الإيمان ولا يزيله كما جرى لأم موسى. That natural fear, he says, does not actually negate one's iman. Because she actually had that natural fear for her child going missing, for her child drowning. That's a natural fear. That everybody is allowed to have natural fear. If there's a lion in front of you about to kill you, of course, you have natural fear. If you see a spider, or maybe not just an ordinary spider, but a tarantula or a black widow, natural fear. Or a snake about to bite you, it's natural fear. It doesn't remove your iman. What you shouldn't do is fear other than Allah. In being afraid to establish the deen, that is the fear that you're only supposed to have fear for Allah. When Allah says, "Wala takhafuhum wa khafuni," don't fear them, but fear me. Number 7, and al iman yazidu wa yanqus. Iman increases and decreases. ولتكون من المؤمنين. Allah says that He strengthened her that she be from the believers. Musa, naam, rahimahullah, that she be from the believers. Strengthen her with what? With increase of iman. Number 8. أَنَّ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ نِعَمِ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ تَثْبِيتُ اللَّهِ لَهُ عِنْدَ الْمُقَلْقَلَاتِ أو المقلقات a fear which is qalik, which causes you to have hesitance, causes you to be not stable. From the blessing of Allah is He makes you stable. From the blessing of Allah is you are stable. How many people they shake with the smallest trial that comes upon them? Shaking. Why? Be firm. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes also from dhikr of Allah. You see people are firm. Ulama, for example, like mountains. Firm. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. All of it is from Allah. They're firm, rooted. They don't shake. A believer must be firm, like the tree that is firmly rooted. Naam. That is firmly rooted. Asluha thabitun wa far'uha fi samaa. That is the rooted, the firmly rooted tree that Allah wants you to be like. Asluha thabit. What's the asl? Your foundation, your aqeedah, your belief. Your methodology firmly rooted. وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. And its branches are in the sky. The fruits that the people benefit from. But that doesn't... if it doesn't have a firm root, how do the people benefit from the fruits? Have to have firm root. But as for the evil tree,
ليس لها قرار, which is all over the place, unstable. It doesn't have roots, rooted, unstable. With the first wind that comes, it blows by. It goes with it. The first fitna that comes, the first trial that comes, you go with it. Sallallahu salama. May Allah make us firm in our deen. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. So number 8 is from the blessings of Allah. The greatest blessings is He makes the person firm. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah said, وَلَوْلَا ثَبَّتْنَاكَ, if we did not make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, firm, لَكِتَّ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا, you would have swayed to them slowly by slowly. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah made him firm. Ya na'am, Allah said, استقم كما أمرت, be firm as we have commanded you with firmness. Allahu Akbar. So Allah commanded the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this, and he was firm. He was firm. And Musa alayhi salam up against Fir'aun, but he was firm. Firm to establish the Tawheed, establish the Sunnah, the Sharia at that time, which is Tawheed, to worship Allah alone. Number 9. أن العبد إن عرف أن القضاء والقدر حق وأن وعد الله نافذة لا بد منه فإنه لا يهمل فعل الأسباب. Just because you know and believe that the pre-decree of Allah is true, the qadr of Allah is true, no doubt. Whatever's destined is going to happen. Whatever's going to pass you by is not going to occur to you, no doubt. But it doesn't mean that you leave the asbab. It doesn't mean you leave taking affairs na'am by striving. Didn't the Sahaba radiallahu anhum say to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, is the amr, is the affair just, you know, we're forced to do it without... He said, no. اعمل. Do actions. Do righteous actions. فَكُلٌ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَنْ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. So everyone, Allah makes it easy for what He makes it easy for. It's Allah is the one who makes it easy for you. You strive. Start with your heart to have, to take away laziness from your heart. Start with your heart to have concern to keep up your 5 daily prayers. Start with your heart to have concern to keep my ibadah, my witr prayer, my sunnah prayer. Start with your heart to keep up that which Allah loves. Start with your heart to hate and to abhor the evil things. Start with your heart to dislike that which Allah dislikes. Start with your heart to learn about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we've translated this book about the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 55 points. There are more. If you were to enumerate the manners of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you wouldn't be able to. But Shaykh Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, who died 600 Hijriah, he mentioned 55 points in his book. Mukhtasar Sirat Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Learn about his seerah and see the Messenger of Allah, the one whom we follow. So don't despair in bringing about the asbab, the reasons which would benefit you. Number 10. Jawaz khuruj al-mar'a fi hawa'ijiha. The allowance of a woman to go out for a need. Just like the sister of Fir'aun. She went out for a need, and it was a necessity to go and find out where her brother is. Number 11, جواز أخذ الأجرة على الكفالة والرضاع. The allowance of taking money to breastfeed or to be responsible over children, to rear. Just like Umm Musa عليه الصلاة, that's her mother anyway, that's his mother anyway. But alhamdulillah, they brought the baby to her, and she was not only breastfeeding her own child, but she was paid for it as well. Subhanallah. She was paid for it as well. Look at the fadl of Allah. Returned the child, and He paid her to breastfeed the child and to look after the child. Number 12. أَنَّ قَتْلُ الْكُفَّارَ الَّذِي لَهُ عَهْدٍ بِعَقْدٍ أَوْ عُرْفٍ لَا يَجُوزُ. And this is referring to the story, the next story of Musa alayhi salam. Naam. When he saw an Israelite harming another individual on his path, he saw him harming him and about to harm him and kill him and oppress him, and Musa alayhi salam stepped in and defended the weaker person, defended him to the extent that he overcame the other oppressor and he killed him. And then he said, هَذَا عَمَلُ الشَّيْطَانِ. This is an action from shaitan. And he was remorseful and he was saddened of what he had done. Repenting to Allah. And he fled, fearing that he will be killed. He fled that land, fearing that he will be killed. And here Shaykh Sa'di rahimahullah says that it is forbidden to kill the disbelievers of that land, of a land where there is a pact between you and them. So for example, if a disbeliever goes to a Muslim country and he goes in safely with security and so on, with a visa for example, and he lives and he works there, it's not allowed for you and me or anyone else to kill him. This is forbidden. Why? Because he has a pact and there is an agreement. He's not in the battlefield. People think, you know, disbeliever means khalas, is to be... No! The takfiris think that. Disbeliever could be your neighbor, living in the country of the disbelievers, like in this country. You have a pact between him and between you and him, not to deceive him, not to cheat him, let alone killing him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Call him to Islam with your beautiful preaching and guidance. Don't harm them. So the action that Musa alayhi wa sallam did was wrong. Although he defended the weaker person, but still it shouldn't have killed him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran. And he mentioned the repentance of Musa alayhi wa sallam, and he said, هَذَا عَمَلُ الشَّيْطَانِ. And look how repentful Musa alayhi wa sallam was. That he felt so saddened by this. And this is the way of the Anbiya. That they, if they make a mistake, they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Not like Sayyid Qutb, when he speaks about Musa, he calls him, he says he has a fiery nature. Speaking ill about Musa like this is not befitting. We should speak about the Anbiya with goodness. Alayhimus salatu was salam. That's how we say about the Anbiya, making dua for them. The Anbiya who showed us so much good, who guided with the guidance of Allah. And this is how you speak about the Anbiya, about Kaleemullah, the one that Allah spoke to. And he spoke to Allah and you speak about him like that. That is Rajulun Asabiyul Mizaj. A'udhu Billahi Min Dalik. We seek refuge from the statement of Sayyid Qutb that Musa alayhi salam had a fiery nature. Shame to speak about the Anbiya like that. Shame, wallahi. Rather the Anbiya, لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. We don't distinguish between the messengers. They are all had one da'wah, tawheed, worshipping Allah alone. And they were sincere in their call. Number 13, أن الذي يقتل النفوس بغير حق يعدى من الجبارين والمفسدين. That the one who kills a person, a soul, without due right, then he is considered from the aggressors, from the oppressors, from the evil people. Because Allah mentioned that this is from the amal of the jabbarin. From Musa himself saying this, fearing that he would be from that. Look, Musa, how repentful he was, that this is from the actions of shaitan, and he repented from that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Allah mentioned, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا لَمْ يَقْتُلُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَى أَثَامًا يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allahu Akbar. That these individuals, they committed shirk, they killed, and they committed fornication. They will be in the hellfire, being punished with severe punishment, except those who repent sincerely. For those who repent sincerely, who will change their bad deeds to good deeds. And Allah is Ghafoor and Rahima. Allahu Akbar. Number 14. أَنَّ أَخْبَارُ الْغَيْرِ بِمَا قِيلَ فِيهِ وَعَنْهُ عَلَى وَجْهِ التَّحْذِيرِ لَهُ مِنْ شَرْ يَقَعْ بِهِ لَا يَكُونُ نَمِيمَةً. And this is
referring to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam being warned. As he's killed the person, he's been warned now, you better flee this place because they're coming to kill you. The army of Fir'aun, the people of Fir'aun, they're coming to kill you. Flee from this place, otherwise you will be harmed. This is not considered to be tail carrying. This is benefit. So when you warn somebody of another individual who's going to harm you, this is benefit. When you backbite the innovator who causes harm in your deen, this is benefit. When you say to your brother, Akhi, don't marry your daughter to so-and-so, because it's oppressive, this is benefit, this is not namima. This is backbiting which is allowed. Al-ghibatu. Al-qadhu laysa bi-ghibatin fi sittatin. And from it is, al-tahdiru, to warn. Exceptions to backbiting, warning somebody of some harm. Or, mutadallim, somebody who's oppressed and he wants to remove the oppression. Number 15. إِذَا خَافَ التَّلَفِ بِالْقَتْلِ بِغَيْرِ حَقْ فِي إِقَامَتِهِ فِي مَوْضِعٍ فَلَا يُلْقِي بِيَدِهِ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ وَيَسْتَسْلِمْ لِلْهَلَاكِ بَلْ يَفِرْ. If now you've caused this harm, like you know you're going to be killed, you know you're going to be harmed, don't stay there and remain to be killed. Go to another land where you will be safer. And do not cause destruction with your own hands by remaining there. And this is exactly what Shaykh Al-Bani rahimahullah said. Regards those who live in a land where the oppressors are about to kill the people. You don't stay there. And you don't have the ability to repel the harm. He said, leave that land until you have security. Number 16. إِذَا كَانَ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ ارْتِكَابِ إِحْدَى الْمَفْسَدَتَيْنِ تَعِينُ ارْتِكَابَ الْأَخَّفْ مِنْهُمَا الْأَسْلَمْ دَفْعًا لِمَا هُوَ أَعْظَمْ مُؤَخْطَرٍ. If there are two harms and you have to follow one of the harms because there's no way out. Either you die or you leave your land. Both of them is harmful for you because leaving your land is not easy. But lesser of the two harms you take. And that is actually a principle from the principles of Usul al-Fiqh, from Qawa'id al-Fiqhiyya, which Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah said, وَإِذَا تَعَدَّدَ عَدَدُ الْمَصَالِحِ يُقَدَّمُ الْأَعْلَى مِنَ الْمَصَالِحِ وَضِدُّهُ تَزَاحُمُ الْمَفَاسِدِ يُرْتَكَبُ أَدْنَى مِنَ الْمَفَاسِدِ. If there are two ease, you take the best of the two. Two good, take the best of the two. Two harms, you take the lesser of the two. Takfiris don't know these principles. Wallahi, there was a takfiri here. When we met him and he was trying to argue, subhanallah, we mentioned this principle to him. You know what he said? First time I've heard this. Yeah, you're right, the first time you've heard it, because you've been sitting with takfiris like yourself. They don't know the sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal. They don't know the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Of course it's the first time you heard it. But if you read the seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you would know where this stems from. Don't you read the hadith of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha, if your people were not new to Islam, I would have rebuilt the Kaaba upon the station of Ibrahim. I would have rebuilt it, meaning taken it down and brought it back up again. But I didn't do that. Why? Because the people were new to Islam. They would say, look, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is destroying the Kaaba. But he's not, he's rebuilding it. So look at that. Lesser of the two. He left it the way it is. And likewise, the Prophet ﷺ, even when he rebuilt the Kaaba and when the stone was placed onto the Kaaba, each tribe took a corner. Why? To establish again unity. So everybody has a share in place. Look at that. SubhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ needs seerah. The Prophet ﷺ, when a man came into the masjid and he urinated in a corner of the masjid, Sahaba radiallahu anhu ready to throw him out. The Prophet ﷺ said, leave him. Da'ahu. Leave him, let him finish. And when he finished, he let him finish. And he said to him, this is not the place where we do this. Because the man was new to Islam, he didn't know. This is not the place where we do this. This is a masjid. And you know what that man said? May Allah only enter me and you in paradise. Because he saw the Sahaba already to throw him out. And the Prophet said, قَدْ وَسَعْتَ ضَيِّقْ. ضيقاً. You have made narrow that which is vast. Jannah is vast. You just want me and you to go to Jannah? Only me and you? I said, because he's saying to because of mercy, akhi. When you're mercy to others, people accept from you. And Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum were the most merciful, of course. The best of people. But they learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this matter, don't throw him out. And Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabri says, look at the benefit. Number one, he was new to Islam. If they'd thrown him out, maybe he would have left Islam. Number two, the harm is only in one corner. If they stopped him, the urine would have went all over the place. Because it would be in a scuffle maybe. Allahu A'lam. Number three, his aura may have been seen. And that's another mafsada. Look how many mafsadat. The Prophet ﷺ was the most wise, the most compassionate amongst the people, the best of the people, the most merciful amongst the people. SubhanAllah, and he showed them this great principle. Takfir is, they don't know this principle. These jihadists, so-called jihadists, and takfiris who go around causing more harm than good. Ya akhi, what good is you blowing a plane with your shoe or with your pants? What good is that? Billah, I could be on the plane, you could be on the plane, your own family could be on the plane. Killing Muslims, non-Muslims, everyone, innocent people don't have nothing to do with any war, any battle, you're killing them. What intellect you have, let alone deen, what is it that you, where have you come from? Killing innocent people in the manner that you do, the evil manner that you do, and the repercussions that you cause, whether it's Bin Laden praising 9/11, how can you praise 9/11? Muslims were being killed, innocent non-Muslims were being killed, it got nothing to do with any war. They're not in a battlefield, they're just getting on their everyday lives, 9-to-5 jobs. What good was that? Did it bring you any good? No, it didn't. It brought more harm than good. 7-7 brought more harm than good. So where is that principle number 16 that Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah mentions? The lesser of the two evils. Where is that established in the takfiri da'wah? And this one here, remember he said, and his name is Burhan, the takfiri. He used to come on Ramadan radio as well. SubhanAllah, Ramadan is ibadah, they talk about politics. Ya akhi, Ramadan, ya akhi. Even Ramadan? Politics. Or even Ramadan? This is ibadah, ya akhi. Come closer to Allah. Worship, tarawih, ibadah. And you're still politics. Politics never finish, ya akhi. You can talk all night, all day, all night. And did you benefit? Did you bring about any change? Socialists, ya akhi, every time they go out in marches, which the Prophet and Sahaba never did, they go out in marches, they come back, did they bring any change, any benefit? No benefit. What will bring benefit and change is the worship of Allah and education, cultivation, purification. This will bring about change. Education, cultivation. Change doesn't come by just wasting time talking about the never-ending story. Talk about, do that which Prophet ﷺ did. Establish Tawheed upon the earth. Foundation which is firm. And alhamdulillah, much khair came out of that. But these takfiris, wallahi, they don't know aqidah, correct aqidah. Wallahi, they don't know the correct aqidah. So how can you establish Islamic State, you can't even establish Salah? How you establish Islamic State, you can't even establish the correct aqidah? Tawheed you can't establish. If I ask you, but what is the meaning of La ilaha illallah? And where is Allah? La adri, la adri. So how are you going to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You don't even know the basics. The serious effects of having ignorance in aqidah and having the wrong aqidah upon a nation. The serious effects of that. May Allah protect us from these misguided groups whom the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already spoke about. Number 17, فيه تنبيه لطيف على أن الناظر في العلم عند الحاجة إلى العمل أو التكلم به إذا لم يترجح عنده أحد القولين فإنه سيستهدي ربه ويسأله أن يهديه إلى الصواب. If the person doesn't know which path to take, if he has a choice to do one of two things, he should call upon Allah for his guidance. Just like Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance when he said, عَسَى رَبِّي أَن يَهْدِيَنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ, hoping Allah will guide me to which of the paths I should take. And you should say that, the istikhara prayer.
make istikhara prayer, say ibadah, 2 ruk'ahs, and then you supplicate to Allah and you'll never feel regret from that supplication. Number 18, أن الرحمة والإحسان على الخلق من من عرفه العبد ومن لا يعرفه من أخلاق الأنبياء. From the manners of the prophets is having mercy for the people and having righteousness towards the creation. And that is from إحسان. نعم, إحسان. And isn't this what Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام did? As he left that land, he was going and he sees some sheep and he feeds them. He waters the grass for them and he waters them. SubhanAllah, helping the needy animals, let alone needy people. كما فعل موسى. And also Musa did the same. And that was a reason for him later as well to get married to the owners of that land. They had a child, they had 2 daughters. SubhanAllah. And one of them went to her father, said, there is a man who's doing such and such good deed. And he, in the end, married one of the daughters to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. SubhanAllah, you don't know where the khair is. You help others, Allah will bring you so much khair. You help others, obviously with a pure heart, with a sincere heart, not having any tama', having any greed for what others have. Help the ones in need, the rich and the poor. The ones who ask and the ones who don't ask. وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ كَمَا يُحِبُّ مِنَ الدَّاعِي أَنْ يَتَوَسَّلَ إِلَيْهِ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَنِعَمِهِ الْعَامَةِ وَالْخَاصَةِ فَإِنَّهُ يُحِبُّ مِنْهُ أَنْ يَتَوَسَّلَ إِلَيْهِ بِضَعْفِهِ. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes for you to seek nearness through Him by His beautiful names and attributes and the blessings that Allah has provided you with, also Allah loves for you that you call upon Him and you seek nearness to Him with that which you're not able to do, with that which you are deficient in. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like Musa said, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Recognizing that what he is, even though he's poor, need, and now he's away from his family, and he's away from his land, still he's supplicating to Allah, oh Allah, you're the one who gave me this fadl, and you give me so much khayr, even though I'm in this situation. Even though I'm in this difficulty. Why? Because it shows humility to Allah. It shows that you are in need of Allah. It shows the reality of who you are. And number 20, and we'll stop with this one. أن الحياة والمكافأة على الإحسان لم يزل دأب الأمم الصالحين. That striving in this life and being righteous to others and striving in seeking sustenance and seeking provision and working is from the previous nations, the prophets of the previous nations. They used to go out and work. They used to strive. Like Musa alayhi salam strove and he worked on the land and he fed the sheep and the cattle, those that grazed. He helped them and he, subhanAllah, he didn't just stay in his land waiting to be killed. Rather, he left, but he still went out and he worked. And he worked for 8 years. Na'am. As a dowry in order to get married. SubhanAllah. 8 years. ثمانية حجج, Allah says in the Quran. That would be a recompense for marrying one of the daughters. Allahu Akbar. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us in forgiving us and make us righteous. Ya Allah. Make us righteous and follow these 20 benefits from the story of Musa and Harun. عليهم الصلاة والسلام. إن شاء الله the next درس we will finish the next 18 points and we'll cover the story of موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم.